The next coach on the teleconference is Maryland's Randy Edsall. The Terrapins are 2-1 overall and visit West Virginia at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on FS1. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. If you could give us some quick opening comments, then we'll go ahead and open up the call for questions.
Well, we are coming off a good win against South Florida here this past weekend. I thought that our guys played pretty well. We were more productive offensively, and our passing game was better. Thought defensively we did a better job communicating, and then just thought we played a very solid game in terms of our special teams. Got a tough one this week against West Virginia, who is 2-0 and had last week off, and they're playing at a very high level on offense and defense, and loaded with a lot of experienced players coming back on defense, and they also have very good punter and place kicker. So be a challenge for us as we go to Morgantown this weekend.
Thanks, Coach. At this time, we'll take questions.
As a reminder, to ask Coach a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Jesse Temple from ESPN.com.
Randy, I was hoping to get your opinion on the targeting rule. Does the game happen so fast that it makes it difficult to fully coach in practice?
No, I understand that, it's a player safety issue. And again, I don't have any issue with the foul that was called on our player last week, and I thought it was the right call. And the young man is a really good kid, and he just used poor technique. And we just have to keep talking about it and keep telling him and everything else, because we want what's best for the players, and we want it to be as safe as we can. And we as coaches just have to drill that, which we do, and talk about it. But in the heat of the moment, sometimes kids get out there and they just don't use that proper technique that they've been taught. And it's unfortunate, but the game has to remain safe, and I don't have any issue with them using replay to determine whether or not a young man shouldn't be playing or not.
Does the punishment seem too harsh to you, or would you be okay if it was just a 15-yard penalty in general?
I think the thing is that they're trying to show that that it's not in the safety of the game, and whatever the rules committee decides, I'm all for. And if they think that the ejection is the way to go, then I'm all for it.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 to ask Coach a question. And our next question comes from the line of Ari Wasserman from Cleveland.com.
Hey, Coach. I was just wondering, a recruiting philosophy question. Do you always want to take, when you're assembling your roster, the best player available that you guys could get, or do you sometimes feel like you would sacrifice on talent and maybe take a less talented player because he fits your scheme and your system and what you guys are trying to do more?
I think there's even more that goes into that. I think you got to look at the grades as well as the character, the work ethic, all those things. And what I want to do is I'm going to take a player that fits into what we're doing here and what we believe in. I mean, there might be somebody that's a great player but doesn't have all the things that you're looking, other components that you're looking for, and I'm going to take that guy that might have a little bit less ability but is going to, fit into doing what we need to do, who's a team player, who also will be good in the locker room, because now that you got to have these guys with the guaranteed scholarship and the four-year scholarship that we have, it's important that you have the right chemistry and the right people in that locker room and the right people that will be here for 4 years.
I mean, outside of just off-the-field stuff, just like building a team philosophy with just physical talent only being involved, do you think that there are times where it makes sense to take a system player that might not be as talented as somebody who's just has raw ability but might not fit your scheme?
I think you always want to try to have somebody that's going to fit or at least can fit into what you want to do, because if you're taking somebody who might not fit, then you're going to have problems, in my opinion. You know, if somebody might not play as much as they like, they become disenchanted, they become a problem in the locker room. So there's so many things that go into it. But ultimately, you want to, to me, my philosophy is I want to find somebody that fits to what we do, both on and off the field, who's a good teammate, who's got ability, who can help us win in the Big Ten and win a championship in the Big Ten.
Thanks, Randy.
Yep.
And our next question comes from the line of Eric Olson from Associated Press. Eric, your line is open.
I'm here now. I'm here. Hey, Randy, I wanted to see if I could get your thoughts just on there's a couple of published reports out today about how the Big Ten is going to allow some non-Power 5 opponents count as Power 5 opponents when the scheduling is done here with the new, I guess, guidelines as far as making sure you have one Power 5 opponent on your schedule in future years. Schools like Army and UConn and some other league teams in the American and possibly the MAC could actually count towards that. I guess, do you have any take on that? Are you familiar with that report? And do you have any thoughts on kind of easing up on the strict Power 5 requirement?
I saw that. I just happened to see that just a little bit ago. I'm happy for UConn because I was there, and it's a great school and everything else that they're included in that. The thing is it, who do you exclude? And then is it, it also said, but you could go and take a look, and if you have somebody there, the problem you got is these schedules are made up so far in advance. And if they're talking about RPI and strength of schedule, you don't know what somebody, you can schedule a game now, and you might not play that game for 5 to 7 years. How do you know a team's going to be good in 5 to 7 years? You don't know that. So I think there's some issues there. I just wish we'd go to 10 conference games or go back to 8, because I think it's a disadvantage when you play 9, when you play an odd number. And then that way maybe you can do something different. But I think it's hard. I think it's hard like that if you're saying that these teams, but you don't, you might have them in 2021 or 2022. Now, who knows what that team's going to be like in 2021 and 2022?
Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Dunn Reddy from the Associated Press.
Randy, game Saturday is going to feature two of the top kickers in the country. Can you, I don't know if you can compare them at all, but just the fact that, the two top kickers from a year ago are there. And do you find it necessary to talk to Brad much during the season?
I talk to Brad a lot during the season, but it's not about kicking. it's about other things. He's a great guy to talk to and get, to sit down and get his perspective and his take on certain things. But Josh Lambert is an outstanding kicker. He was a finalist for the Lou Groza Award that Brad won last year. He's having a really good year this year. And I know Brad really liked him as he got to know him last year at the functions that they were at. But again, I think those are two outstanding kickers in this game, place kickers that who work very, very hard. So it'll be hopefully last year Josh beat us on a field goal at the end of the game. Hopefully that doesn't happen this year.
Thanks, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, thank you very much for your time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, appreciate it.